So a brief intro. I know Marv talked a little bit about it. I'm a husband to a beautiful wife right over there. We've been, you want to raise your hand or no? She's like, what the heck is he doing? I'm trying to get some brownie points. But that, what we learn in men's group is that only counts as one point. It doesn't matter what you do. There's different pointing system, you know, of how you get stuff. So that counts as one. But anyways, also too, the father to four children over there. I'm not sure my little girl is. She's probably running around. And I'm also a real estate agent in town. And I do the men's ministry here. And then I did also write a book, which is about 8 life lessons. And we're going to learn one of those life lessons tonight. So with that said, my goal tonight is to really get past your mind. I think so often what we do is we think with our mind, and that's where I feel that Satan likes to play around. That's where our fear, our doubt, our discouragement comes in our mind. We start to overthink stuff as opposed to going into our hearts. And that's where the Holy Spirit lives. So I want to really make sure that I can try to get into your heart tonight. You have to open that up. And I also want to encourage you guys to take notes. My boy Jace over here helped me cut the little notes and get that set up. So if you didn't get a little note, piece of paper and stuff, I want to encourage you to do that. I'm a big note taker, and I believe that if you want to retain stuff a little more, you actually need to write it down. I was actually watched Charles Stanley, I think about 8 or 9 months ago, a little sermon that he was doing. If you don't know Charles Stanley, he's on 94.7, does the sermons. But I watched him on TV, and it was amazing. His whole congregation was sitting there just writing notes. They were just everything he was saying, they were just taking it down and just writing it. And I really think that he trained them to do that. So I want to encourage you to do that. Okay, let's get to what we're going to talk about. Hopefully I know how to run this thing. I don't usually get one of these pointer things or slide things. I asked a question the other day. See if it comes. I pointed over there. Oh, I went too far. Why do some people achieve balanced success in all areas of their lives, while others do not? And I think that's an important question we all should look at. So why do other people achieve success in all areas of their life while others do not? And success, the definition that I have, is the achievement of something desired, planned, or attempted. Something desired, planned, or attempted. So let's look at your marriage, for example. I mean, nobody goes into marriage when they get married to have a miserable marriage, right? Nobody goes into that. If you want to have a successful marriage, you want to have that love that you're giving your spouse. You want to be receiving that love back. You want to be encouraging one another. You want to have that passion. If you have that, that's a successful marriage. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about success in all areas of our life. So in our spiritual relationship, in our marriage, in our parenting, in our careers, in our finances, okay? In the dreams and desires that God placed in our hearts, having that passion and having that success. And why do some people achieve that? Why do some people, you know, really strive to have that and do have that? And I'm not saying it's all perfect at all times, but more often than not, they have that passion. They have that parenting skills that they need. Let me ask it this way, and this is going to be some participation. I know the extroverts will be raising their hands right away. The introverts will be like, man, I don't want to raise my hand. What's he doing here? But I really want you guys, if you can, just to raise them up maybe a little bit. You don't have to go all the way up. But let me ask you some questions. How many of you would want a closer relationship to your Savior? How many of you would want that? Okay. How many of you would like to have a stronger, more passionate marriage? Some hands? Good. All the young kids are not, don't know about that yet. How many of you would love having a great relationships with your happy and healthy children? Like that? How many of you would love to be in a career that you enjoy going to, that you really like, that you want to be going to? Okay? How many of you would like more financial security? Maybe a little more money than month? Is that how it's said? Right? Okay, how many of you would like to have better health? Maybe have a little more energy, vitality, maybe eating a little better, exercising a little bit more, okay? So if you look around, we all really want the same things. We're all trying to get there. We all want it. So why do some people achieve it and others do not? And that's something we really should be asking. I'm used to looking at that screen back there. Why should we be doing that? Because we are created in His image. And we have a responsibility to play our part well. One of the things that I started, I had a little website, and I do believe that we have a part to play, that we have to. So that's why we should achieve that success in all areas of our life. We really should be growing. We really should be trying to have an incredibly successful marriage. Okay? We should have that, be better parents and growing and learning and trying to get better. Colossians 3:10 says, and put on new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. And then Genesis, it says in several other verses, this is written, account of Adam's line, when God created man, he made himself in the likeness of God. So we should be a reflection of our Savior's life. When we see what God is like, we should see what we are to be like. Does that make sense? So that's why we should try to grow and learn and become better. Now, a lot of times you don't hear that. Sometimes that looks like a self-help kind of thing or a personal development thing. And a lot of people look at that, a lot of Christians, I think, and say, oh, no, you shouldn't be talking about that self-help stuff or anything like that, that personal development. You know, you just need to come to church and you need to pray, which I totally understand that you need to do. But I also feel that God gives us a part to play in that, and we have to do stuff. So some people, when you look at that, you say, that self-help, no, I'm not doing any of that. That doesn't make any sense to me. Well, I disagree with you. Let me ask you a few other questions, and I think these are powerful questions. Does God want you to go backwards and become worse in your spiritual life, worse in your marriage, your career, your finances, etc.? Does he want us to go backwards? No, heck no, he doesn't want us to go backwards. So let me ask you this question. So does God want you to stay stagnant and do our best to live by the status quo? Do you want that? Just to do our best or just stay stagnant? Doing our best to remain average. Does he want that? Not really. We're supposed to shine bright. So the options. These are the options, guys. You have three options. So think about this. You really need to think about this. So the options are to get better, stay the same, or get worse. Probably get better, right? That's what we want to do. You know, I often look, because I have the four kids, and I look at it, you know, with my relationship with my children. I want to teach them, but I also want them to take advantage of the opportunities that they're given to grow and learn and become better, okay? I'm not going to do it for them. When they get older, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to teach them, just like God teaches us. And he gives us in our prayer, he speaks to our heart, we read his word, and we're supposed to act out on his word. We're supposed to get it done. You know, God gives us everything that we need to have an incredibly successful life. Do you guys believe that? Do you think he gives you anything? He gives us, I heard somebody say he gives us the sun, the soil, the rain, and the seasons to create and cultivate a wonderful life. But it takes action. It takes us actually doing something. It takes much more than coming just to church on Sunday for a little bit and singing a few worship songs and coming in and saying, you know, and just hanging out and shaking a few hands and then going and saying, wow, that sounded really cool. That was great. And then going back to your day like nothing happened. It takes a lot more than that. It takes work and effort. These are some of my favorite verses, and I just realized because I just put this slideshow together yesterday that I need to make the verses a little bigger. You know, my dad's here today. There's no way in the world he can see that. It's not even happening. You can see me? Okay, that's good. So, look, these are one of my favorite verses. In the same way, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. So let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds. So clearly, letting our light shine and see our good deeds, I mean, that tells me that I have to do something, that I have to get something going. I love this one in James, and I love James. It says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. So guys, if we look at that, if we look at the key areas of our life, our spiritual life, our marriage, our parenting, our career, our health, okay, giving back, what we give back to our community, we really need to figure out why some people have success and some do not. This is I want to tell the story. We talked about this on Tuesday night, and this story kind of really speaks out to these two types of people, okay? And this is going to be our first hint of this lesson that we're going to be talking about tonight in this story. So this, when you're going through the story, you got to try to figure out what the difference is between these two individuals. There are two brothers who grew up in a rough setting. The father was an abusive, alcoholic man. One brother grew up to be extremely successful. He had a strong spiritual relationship, a loving wife, and three beautiful children. He gave back to society. Okay? The other brother, however, struggled his whole life with drugs and alcohol. They interviewed the two brothers and asked them why they were the way they were. So they took these two brothers. They had the same father, the same situation, alcohol and abuse. One was extremely successful getting it done, okay? And the other one was struggled his whole life with alcohol and just everything. Was not doing that well. So the brother who struggled his whole life with alcohol and drugs was quick to answer. So this guy had it figured out. So they asked him, "Why are you the way you are?" He said, "My father was an alcoholic." So they asked the other brother, okay, they took him aside and said, "Why are you the way you are?" And he answered even quicker than the first brother. He said, "My father was an alcoholic." So what's the difference? What's the difference? Does anybody know? Anybody guess? Anybody want to say? The men's group guys should know. What was the difference? You have these two brothers. They grew up in the same household, the same abuse. One chose a certain way, and the other one chose a different way. What do you think was the main thing there? Anybody? What? What?
Mm-hmm.
Right. He was compelled to do better. Because he had a better attitude. He had an attitude. And this is one of the eight life lessons that I wrote about in my book, Attitude. I love this quote. Attitude is not everything, but it's the main thing in determining success in your life. So it really is the same with us here tonight. And I talk about it in the men's group. You know, the words are no different for this section over here than they are over here. They're the same words that I speak tonight. They're the same thing. But there might be somebody over here that jots down one or two things and then applies it because he has an attitude of learning, an attitude of growing. And there may be somebody over here, hope it's not any of my kids, okay, boys, that have an attitude of, "What the heck is Dad talking about? This is boring. I want to get home and play some ball." And they might be thinking that. That's okay because they're, you know, they're younger. So, but the words are no different. So it's really, guys, our individual attitudes that really shape a lot of our life. And we're going to get into this, obviously, more. Here's another great one that I like. It says, this is a great quote. You know what, though? When I have a Jim Rohn quote on here, I don't know if you know Jim Rohn, this really does seem like a personal development kind of seminar. If you've ever been in one of those things, I always quote Jim Rohn, but he's one of the best guys out there. And a lot of these guys, these personal development guys like Jim Rohn and Zig Ziglar and stuff like that, these are all incredibly strong Christian men. Incredibly strong. Zig Ziglar has some great stuff out there. But I thought this was a great, great quote. And really listen to this, because this makes so much sense. If you can just get this in your mind, it's going to help you so much. It says, it is ironic that one of the few things in life over which we have total control is our own attitudes. Yet most of us live our entire lives behaving as though we have no control whatsoever. By our attitude, we decide to read or not to read. By our attitude, we decide to try or give up. By our attitude, we blame ourselves for our failures, or we foolishly blame others. Our attitude determines whether we love or whether we hate, tell the truth or lie, act or procrastinate, advance or recede, and by our own attitude, we and we alone actually decide whether to succeed or fail. So what do you guys think about that? That's a pretty powerful quote. You know, going back to age, I love this. I heard this a lot of times. It's okay to kick and scream when you're 3, but not when you're 33. Okay? But how often do we see people acting like that? You know, it's funny. I actually cut somebody off, and I don't think the family knew about it, but my wife always kind of rips on my driving a little bit because I space out when I drive. Sometimes I have no idea what I'm doing. And I actually cut in front of somebody on the highway, you know, and they were probably had on cruise control about 80, and I cut in front of them. You know, I was slamming it, trying to get back up so I wouldn't disturb them too much. And you should have seen how upset the people got behind me. They didn't even know because I was so scared of them that I actually cranked it up so they wouldn't, you know, pass me on this side because I didn't want them to, you know, do whatever they were going to do. So I actually speed a little bit, but they were flipping out. They were literally like the guy raised his hands up and I think she, you know, did her thing. And I'm like, you know what? That's maybe okay when you're 3, but not when you're 33. But how often do we act like that? How often do we have poor attitudes, you know, in our daily lives? It's so important, guys, that you really take a look at your attitude and how you're behaving. What is my attitude right now at this point when the kids are flipping out? Okay, what's my attitude right now when I'm dealing with a client that may be hard to deal with? How's my attitude? You got to check it all the time. You know, the other day, I think it was about 3 weeks ago, Brock and I, we had to leave early, and we went over to Arby's to get a sandwich. It was right after church. And it was one of those days where I did have a bad attitude. I wasn't, you know, it's some of those days you just don't feel good. I don't know what it is. I just had a poor, poor attitude. And we went to Arby's a little early, and nobody was in Arby's. It was just us. And I was greeted by the guy behind the counter. His attitude was incredible. I mean, it was the nicest. I cannot believe. His name was Emmanuel. And he came up to me, and he asked me, hey, how you doing? You having a great day? And this and that. And his energy and his attitude rubbed off on me. You know, and I was kind of taken back because I came in with a poor attitude. I was taken back. So then I kind of asked Emmanuel. I said, Emmanuel, and this is something I think we all should do, is we should sincerely look at people. It doesn't matter where we are. If we're in a fast food restaurant, wherever we're doing, look people in the eye and ask them how they're doing. You know, please do that. I think it's important. I see so many people that don't do that. And I try to do that, and I'm really genuine. I really want to know how they are doing. So I asked Emmanuel that. And he was really energetic, and he was taking my order and looking around. And then all of a sudden, I saw his face just kind of drop when I asked him that question. So he said, well, to be honest with you, I'm not doing too good. And I said, well, what's going on? And he said, I found out, I'm going to the doctor's tomorrow. About a year and a half ago, I found out that I had a blood clot in my brain. And tomorrow morning at 8 in the morning, I'm going to go, and they're going to let me know if I'm going to need surgery on it or I continue with the medications. I mean, talk about, I come in with a bad attitude, not feeling good. Emmanuel greets me in such a tremendous way, kind of pulls me out of it. And here this guy says, got to go in, you know, at 8 o'clock the next morning, he's got a blood clot. So we talked a little bit. And you remember that, Brock? Remember when we sat down and I told you? I'm kind of emotional too, so I almost started, you know, crying when we sat down. Because here I am, you know, whining and complaining because I don't feel good or something's going on. And you got this guy going in at 8 in the morning, you know, to have this clot. So I talked to Emmanuel, and we talked a little bit, and I told him as I was leaving, I said, Emmanuel, I'll be praying for you, this and that, and he was so happy when I said that. It's like when I was leaving, you know, you go to ring that bell and stuff, You know, I was kind of heading out there and he was over there, and it's like almost like he didn't want me to leave. He was excited that I connected with him and stuff. By the way, I saw Emmanuel about 2 days ago. I went in there and asked him how he was doing, and everything turned out well. He's doing good. He's happy, and he's feeling. He's doing great. So, but that's something right there that how your attitude can affect. And we're going to get onto that a little bit. Let me get to this next slide. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in attitude of your minds and put on the new self. Ephesians 4:22-24. So guys, think about it. Understand that if you have an incredible attitude in life, more than likely you will have an incredible life. And that rhymed, didn't it? Did that just rhyme? Did it rhyme? I think it did rhyme, didn't it? Let me see that. I wrote that down last night. I think that rhymes. Understand that if you have an incredible attitude in life, more than likely you will have an incredible life. It does rhyme. So that right there should be easy to remember, okay, since that rhymed. What's that?
It's the same word.
It's the same word. Did it even make sense? Did it? No, it didn't make sense? You guys get what I'm saying? Maybe it did. It didn't make sense? I should have had somebody read over these notes and correct them. I think you guys get what I'm saying. But I got you to laugh, so that's what I want to do, because he laughs for Steve. So, seriously, when I saw him come in, I want to make sure I make him laugh. I have heard so many times that one of the greatest days of a person's life is when they take responsibility for their attitude. Does that make sense? One of the greatest days of a person is when they take responsibility for their attitude. I think that's huge. That is when they truly grow up. So these are some things I kind of jotted down this morning. We can have an attitude of love, or we can have an attitude of hate, like those people did when I pulled in front of them on the highway. An attitude of others first, or me first. We can have an attitude of optimism, or we can have an attitude of pessimism. We can have an attitude of action or ease, which is a very good, I think we're going to talk about that in the men a little bit, action over ease. And that's a different topic. But that actually is doing the things that we know we need to get done and doing them, as opposed to, it might be that one thing, am I doing the best thing that I could be doing right now in this moment to shine bright for Christ? And you know what? That takes effort. So action over ease. Action might be, let's say, going out on the trampoline and jumping with your kids. That might be an action, or taking a walk with your kids. Ease might be going to the couch, grabbing the remote control, and grabbing a thing of ice cream and just sitting there watching TV. That might be ease, okay, if you needed a clarification on that. An attitude of excellence or an attitude of mediocrity. Okay? That's kind of talking about that status quo. I love what Les Brown said, and hopefully I can quote it right. He said, the problem with most people is not that they aim too high, okay? Not that they set their standards too high, but the problem with most people is they aim too low, and then they hit. Does that make sense? Okay? So raise your expectations. Raise them. If you want to have a great, incredible marriage, then do something about it. Raise the expectations. Don't be okay with it just being okay. You can have an attitude of abundance or scarcity, an attitude of I don't know it all, or an attitude of I know it all. Okay? There's a lot of people out there that have an attitude of I know it all. Why the heck do I need to go to church? Why do I need to go to men's group on Tuesday night? Those guys, what do they talk about? You know, so you can have those different attitudes. An attitude of learning, or an attitude of I'm done with school. Boys, you hear that? Boys? An attitude of I'm, what did I say? An attitude of learning, or an attitude I'm done with school. It's a funny conversation. Brock was talking. Who would know? Jace, you were talking in the car today. So why do I have to go to school? When am I done with school? Well, the real answer to that is never. You're never done with school. You're never. You always need to keep learning. I think the most important stuff that you learn is outside of school. To be honest with you, I don't remember too much of what I learned in school at all. I don't know if you guys, that same situation. I focused my last, 2 years. That doesn't mean you guys. You guys need to make sure you focus up hard. Okay? An attitude of courage or an attitude of fear. Okay? You can be courageous or you can be fearful. You might need to talk to your spouse about something. Well, you can be fearful and not do it and just kind of cower it away. Keep thinking this thing's going to fall off. Or you can be courageous and go talk to your spouse. An attitude of humbleness or an attitude of arrogance. So it's so important, guys. So those are just contrasting attitudes. So think about that. See where you fit in that. So how do we have a good attitude? Well, one of the things is to start your days correctly. There's two things you can have control in your day. You can have control of the front end, and you can have control of the back end. So you can control how your days start, and you can control how your days end. Okay? So start your days correctly. Pray being thankful. That's so important, guys. How are you going to start your days? How do you guys start your days? You just get up, and it's all frantic, and you got to go to work and run and get the coffee, run out the door. Next thing you know, you're listening to some talk radio and just getting all upset. You know, that doesn't work out too well. So really, start your days correctly. One of the things that I need to start doing, and maybe if I tell you guys here, then I'll be accountable to it. So when you guys see me, you'd be like, hey, Damon, have you started that up again? Because one of the things that I did for so long, and it was so good for me, is I start the mornings by taking a prayer walk. That's one of the things I like to do. I have to be moving all the time. I don't know if you notice, it's hard for me to sit down. Sometimes my wife is like, why don't you sit down? And I don't like to sit down. I just want to keep moving. So I think better and I pray better when I'm moving. So one of the things that I would do to start my days is I would get up and get going and get out. And I would walk, and we have about a mile loop, and sometimes we have a path in the back that I'd go, and I take my prayer walk. And that's how I start my days. And I go through being thankful for everything I have, being thankful that I can take the walk, being thankful for my wife, being thankful for my Savior that died on the cross for me, being thankful for my kids, my health, my career, thankful for the people that I'm going to meet that particular day. So I just go through, and I go through, and I go through everything. So starting my day, so then, okay, I got that good start to my day. It's very hard when you have a thankful heart, when you have that attitude of thanks, to then be unhappy. Those two kind of don't blend too well together. So if you start your days correctly, I would really look at that. How are you starting your days? You might have to get up. You might have to get your butts out of bed 15 minutes earlier, right? Okay? But it's going to make a huge, huge difference. And that's okay that I said butts in church, right? I saw some people smile. Yeah, I saw you smiling over there. But it's true. You guys maybe get out of bed just a little earlier and start your days correctly. Wherever it is that you need to pray. If it's just before your feet hit the ground, you turn, and before your feet hit, you just bow your head. You say, Lord, thank you for this incredible day. Thankful that I have another opportunity to shine bright for you, to get it going for you, to meet the people that you put in front of me today. It's going to be a great day. It's going to be a wonderful day. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And then you go on and get with it. Okay? I'd recommend you do that, start that. Read your Bible and other great books that inspire. So number two, read your Bible and other great books that inspire and challenge you to become better daily. Read your Bible. That's tough, and that's one of the things I need to do more. I need to read the Word more. We need to read our Bibles. We need to open them up and get in there. And again, guys, that could be a simple, just getting it up, praying, have your Bible right there, and just go over a couple verses. But read that daily. And other great books that inspire and challenge you to become better daily. Other great books. There's some great books out there that you can read. One of the things that I do is my car is my classroom. I spend a lot of time in my car showing homes and going back and forth. And that's my classroom. So you talk about, when does school end for you? It continues. I know the kids all the time are like, Dad, can we turn that off? Turn the radio on. And sometimes I just leave it on, and hopefully they're generating some of that stuff, and I think that they do. But my car is my classroom. So you go in there, and you listen to whatever it is, 94.7, or, you listen to that, You go in there and you put the CDs in. And you listen to that. You listen to it. And that's pumping through your mind. So I'd really, and that's going to affect your attitude. They actually talk about that in therapy. When people are struggling with depression, they actually recommend, there's a few books that they recommend that they read, like the therapists and stuff, that you actually read some inspirational books, some self-help books. But there's some books out there that aren't that good to read. So you need to be careful of that. A lot of bestsellers out there that aren't that great. So what about this one? Guard your mind from negative influence. Number three. Guys, trash TV, trash books, other things that bring you down daily. Guard your mind. What goes into your mind is going to come out. So you have to guard it. You totally have to guard that. And then also, too, create a vision for your life. That's a huge thing that we talk about in men's group. So if you want to have a good attitude, I strongly believe that you have to have a vision for your life. That's going to affect your attitude. You know, one of the things that we talk about in our men's group is to write it down. You know, you need to be able to have a vision for each area of your life. You need to really have a strong idea of what you want your spiritual relationship to look like. How that is, how that ends. One of the things that I talk about, I know Steve talks about it sometimes. He wants to, what does he say? He wants to go into heaven when heaven's gates open for him. He wants everybody, the whole heaven, to get quiet, right? Because he's coming in. You know, that's kind of his vision. So he works back from that vision. My vision is, what I want to do, and this is opening up and sharing a lot to you guys, my vision is I want to run the race so hard, I want to be so tired, that when I go to heaven, I just want to take a nap in God's arms. That's what I want to do. I want to curl up like a little baby and nap. That's what I want to do. But that's my vision. That's what I see. So off of that, I want to work hard. I want to work so hard where I'm just tired when I get there. But I know that I did good things. So you have to have that vision for your life. Whatever it is in your marriage, this could be a whole nother, well, this is another life lesson that I talk about in my book. But a vision. Guys, if you don't know, if you're not able to write down what it is that you need to be for your spouse, if you can't write it down on paper, then more than likely you don't know. So that's having that vision and being able to write it down. Like, there's things with Julie that I have in my mind so clear, it's unbelievable. And I know that we'll do it. I mean, about taking a train ride in Europe, looking out the window, holding her hand, you know, all that stuff. I mean, all these different things I have in my mind. Well, I know that then there's certain things that I need to do to make sure that that does happen. So, guys, there's something else I wanted to say, and I forgot. I think I missed something here. And I want to make sure that I get it. Oh, I know what it was. Our attitude can spur people or encourage people, just like I was talking about Emmanuel. And that's another thing, too. I kind of talked about Emmanuel, but I want to hit that one more time. I want to go back because this is important. Everyone knows that there's people who energize us, that give us energy when we're around, right? There's people that we can call those people elevators because they take us up. Just like Emmanuel, he would be an elevator. And then there's people that bring us down, and we'll call those anchors. So what I really want you guys to think about is your attitude. If we're looking to shine bright for Christ and we're looking to make a difference, okay, then our attitude is huge. And it really does affect other people tremendously. So with that being said, you know, really take a look at how is your attitude affecting the people around you. Okay, that's another good way to check your attitude. Are you bringing them up? Or when you leave, are those people like, man, I'm glad that person left. What a bummer. You know when you're around people and you get tired and you feel like you do want to take a nap? And then you get around people and you feel good and you're energized? So really, guys, make sure that you're looking at that in your life as well. Okay, I want to talk about a few more things and I'm almost off. I did good. How long have I been going? I don't know, about 20 minutes, 25? Think so? Good? I'm good? Okay. Who's that? Is that you laughing? Okay. Who's that? Who's laughing? You laughing? And then you're laughing. Not 34 minutes. What are you? You're sitting off in a roped off section. You're not supposed to be back there. Oh. All right. So anyways, let me tell you this. I love this story, and I want to get to it. And the reason, this is really about the inside-out approach, is changing from the inside. Because I also know, too, it's just human nature. It's human nature that some of you are thinking, this would be great for so-and-so. Or my spouse has a bad attitude. I wish that, you know, I hope that they're really hearing this. I hope that they're taking notes. Okay, so some of you have that attitude. I don't know that we hit that one in our attitudes that we're labeling. But I thought this was a great story. I heard this said by John Maxwell, and it talks about a bishop in the 11th century, and this was written on his tombstone. And I really love this. So it says, "When I was young and free, my imagination had no limits. I dreamed of changing the world. As I grew older and wiser, I discovered the world would not change. So I shortened my sights somewhat and decided to change my country, but it seemed unmovable. As I grew in my twilight years, in one last desperate attempt, I settled for only changing my family, those closest to me, but alas, they would have none of it. Now as I lie on my deathbed, I suddenly realize if I had only changed myself first, then by example, I would have then changed my family, and from their inspiration and encouragement, I would have been able to better my country, and who knows, I may have changed the world." So I thought that was just a great, great story about somebody that really, guys, we have to change from the inside in, that we have to, you know, get it going, realize that our attitude affects our choices. Okay? All those different things, the attitude of courage or fear, the attitude of arrogance or humbleness, the attitude of love or hate, okay? The attitude of I know it all or the attitude I don't know it all and I need to. All those different things, it affects our choices. And our choices shape our lives. Does that make sense? The choice of taking action or ease. Eventually what happens, guys, if we watch our attitude and we have a great attitude and we make these incredible decisions in our life, then eventually our life will start to turn around. But it works the opposite way too. We can have a poor attitude. So a poor attitude carried out through time really ends up in disaster most of the time. But if we have an incredible attitude in which we're being courageous, we're shining bright for Christ, we're playing our part well, we're living a life of passion and purpose, and we're going out there and getting things done. We're loving our families, okay? We're loving our wife. We're loving our kids. We're really kind of taking maybe some risks that we've been wanting to take for some time, but we've been too fearful, and we don't take them, okay? If we begin to really start to live a life with a better attitude, okay, then it will start to shape our lives in a different way and head a different direction. So you guys, with that being said, you have a choice to make. Okay, you can continue to just kind of, you know, go with how everything's going and everything's kind of cool and this and that, and what Damon said today was pretty neat. And or you can say, you know what, I'm gonna listen to what he's saying. I'm gonna look at my attitude much more and make some adjustments. Make some adjustments. I think also too, that's what extremely successful people do in the different areas of their life, is they make those little adjustments. Okay? They're always looking and always searching for little things that they could be doing better. Does that make sense? And then they adjust. Then they do it. But if we're not looking, if we're not searching, we talked about it in men's group too, you know, the finding of answers is reserved for the people who search. It's reserved for those people. So if you're not searching, more than likely you're not going to find. Don't expect to find if you're not searching. The finding is only reserved for the people that have an attitude in which they're looking for things that they could be doing better. And then what they do is when they know what it is that they should be doing better, they make that adjustment, and then they move forward. So it's so important that you guys understand that. So hopefully that made sense. One of the things that I want you guys to understand where the real strength comes from, the real strength comes from my relationship with Christ. That's number one, okay? And I want you guys to understand that. I want you guys to know that. It's so important, guys. That's where I get my guidance. That's where I get my strength, is from my relationship with my Savior. That happened when I was 10 years old. I remember the night. It was a pretty powerful night. And there's been some things in my life that have been pretty wild, pretty up and down. But I know that once I accepted Christ as my Savior, he never left me. He was always there with me. And that's one of the things that I want you guys to understand is we can't do it. We can't do it alone. When I take my prayer walks, when I get going, I have to ask him for the strength to do the things that I need to do. I have to ask him for the courage. I have to ask him for the guidance, because it's not going to happen. Life is way too hard to try to go at it alone. That's why we need a relationship with Christ, and that's why we need each other. That's why we need other mentors or men in our life. That's why women need other women to encourage and uplift and build. We need that. It's something you can't do by yourself. And I want you guys to understand that that's where my strength comes from. It's just amazing, and I want you guys to make sure that you understand that, because sometimes people misunderstand it. Well, you know, self-help, and is he saying I'm just supposed to have a good attitude? Well, yeah, I am saying you're supposed to have a good attitude, but you have your relationship with Christ, and that's where that strength comes. That's where we're created, like we said in the beginning, in his image. So when we look at Christ's life, we really should be, that should be reflected in us.